On today's Zone Daily Podcast, Titans training camp officially starts today. Mike Vrabel will meet with the media. We'll preview his topics that he's going to be addressing. Plus, talk about the big story in the NFL yesterday. Aaron Rodgers coming back to the Green Bay Packers for 2021. Plus, the Big 12 officially receives a notice of goodbye from Texas and Oklahoma. Jay Billis was on ESPN yesterday and had some interesting thoughts on how the SEC could move forward and take the next steps with Texas and Oklahoma in the conference and how that could affect the NCAA. All that and more on the Tuesday edition of the Zone Daily Podcast right now.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is the Zone Daily Podcast with Will Bowling.
So over the weekend, reported yesterday from Adam Schefter that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers are able to reach mutually agreed upon terms that are close to persuading Aaron Rodgers to abandon plans to skip training camp. He's going to play. He's probably going to be a Green Bay Packer at this point. And I'll admit it, I was wrong. I thought that this was a marriage that was way past fixing. I thought that Aaron Rodgers was most likely to be a Denver Bronco in 2021, but at least for now, it looks like Rodgers is going to be a Green Bay Packer this upcoming season. Not done yet. Sources tell Adam Schefter that Rodgers still hasn't left California, but they're hoping to finalize an agreement shortly. Here are the updated terms. The 2023 year in Rodgers' contract would be voided, with no tags allowed in the future. Either the Packers would agree to review Rodgers' situation at the end of this season, his contract could be adjusted with no loss of income to give the Packers more cap room now, and mechanisms will be put in place to address his issues with the team. This is, hopefully, not going to be the new normal in the NFL. This is a big reason why I don't care for the NBA, is because players at the level of Aaron Rodgers have the ability, the mechanisms in place, to do whatever they want within an organization. I hope that this doesn't become the future of the NFL, but you can understand the frustration Aaron Rodgers has when instead of drafting a wide receiver to help him out last season, they drafted Jordan Love, a guy who, from all accounts, I don't even think would be the starter this season if Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to play for the Packers. It's an interesting situation. It's one to monitor moving forward, but it sounds like for now, we at least have a temporary conclusion with Aaron Rodgers playing the 2021 season in Green Bay. So speaking of official conclusions, Texas and Oklahoma have told the Big 12 they're not going to renew grants of media rights, providing notice to the Big 12 that after their expiration in 2025, a joint statement from both schools says, we're out of here. Big 12 sources told ESPN Monday that the statement leaves some flexibility and doesn't fully guarantee the fact that both schools are even going to stay that long. This leaves the ability for both schools to leave and be a part of the conference possibly as early as next year, meaning that they would pay a $75 to $80 million penalty for leaving early while also giving the required 18 months notice per the Big 12 bylaws. This was Jay Billis yesterday on ESPN talking about the next steps for the SEC, for Oklahoma, for Texas, in creating an even bigger super conference that I thought were quite interesting.
I think that the interesting part for me, Matt, is what's going to happen long term, because if you're in this business now, you're going to have to start thinking bigger. Greg Sankey and the SEC are certainly doing that. If I were commissioner of the ACC, one thing I'd be thinking about is approaching the SEC and saying, look at all the natural rivalries we have interconference. Why don't we start thinking about a merger? And because that's what the SEC is going to become. It's going to become the NFL, a junior NFL and junior NBA. And there's no reason why the ACC shouldn't jump in there and take advantage of those natural rivalries and markets. And if I were Jim Phillips, I'd be ringing Greg Sankey's phone saying, how about a merger?
It certainly makes sense from the ACC perspective. And Jay Billis is absolutely right that since day one of all of this, Greg Sankey is playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. That's what happened last year when every other conference tried to cancel college football. And Greg Sankey said, I bought us time. That's exactly what he told 3HL last week in Hoover. Greg Sankey continues to be a step ahead of everybody else. So who else is going to join him? Who else is going to try to think two, three steps ahead in this thing? Because as we saw when this happened about a decade ago, things are going to move really quickly. As soon as A&M and Missouri made this statement saying they would leave the Big 12, they were in the SEC the next season. That is certainly a good possibility at this point, with both of these schools possibly joining the SEC next fall to play football in the Southeastern Conference, and what would be certainly a different-looking Southeastern Conference. I don't know how I feel about the SEC becoming a mini-NFL right now. I think when we look down the road, this is probably something that's happening in the next decade versus the next cycle. But I think we even said this when the Longhorn Network became a thing and when Missouri and Texas A&M bolted to the SEC when they did. Look, we knew that this was a possible step. And I think the pandemic in the last year, if we learned anything, it's that a big disaster, a big change in the landscape of college athletics and of pro athletics accelerates changes that were already going to happen. Did last year's pandemic accelerate Texas and Oklahoma joining the SEC? I think you can certainly make that argument. You can certainly make the case that when money becomes more valuable within college athletics and when the SEC is continuing to bring in more than anybody else, it becomes more enticing to go ahead and join the boat now instead of waiting until the media deal is over in 2025. I saw this from Wes Rucker of GoVols247 on Twitter yesterday that says, if the SEC adds Texas and Oklahoma, a path can be drawn to the conference quickly generating $1.3 billion in the 2024 and 2025 fiscal year. That's as much as the NCAA makes. We are quickly accelerating into a timeline that doesn't just say that the Power Five and the SEC can be autonomous in college football. It's just that the Power Five and the SEC could just be autonomous. And maybe by that point, it's Power Four or Power Three by the time you get to 2024 and 2025. If I'm the Big Ten, though, the other conference in this that I think has a really interesting role, this is what I'm doing. I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling Kansas. And I'm saying to them, college football and the competition that we have with the SEC, any chance that we have of beating the SEC was already minuscule. Now it's just absolutely nothing. You have no chance of beating the SEC when adding Texas and Oklahoma. Let's be great in basketball. Let's pick something else to try to generate a large amount of money and market ourselves as the Conference of Champions in basketball. Sorry, Pac-12, I don't think you can really claim Conference of Champions in anything anymore. Going to be an interesting couple of weeks, an interesting couple of months. This story is going to change day by day. But one thing's for sure, each conference, if they're not going to get in with the SEC and merge like Jay Billis is saying, has to find a different area, a different part of the market to corner. For the Big Ten, it's basketball. For the Pac-12, it's non-revenue sports, which is sad because the term non-revenue means you're not going to make as much money off of those as everybody else is in football. But it's going to be interesting to see how each school tries to corner some kind of market that is a strength for them and how each conference follows suit in that as well. So coming up today on 104.5 The Zone, you've got Mike Vrabel addressing the media at 11:30. Titans training camp is here. We gave you the injury notices yesterday about Bud Dupree and Caleb Farley not being on the practice field in an official capacity to start training camp. That's going to be the major topic of conversation with Mike Vrabel today. Don't expect him to be very happy to answer it, but when you have so many more high-profile players, you're going to have more questions about the availability of those high-profile players. I would expect Titans fans to be more frustrated than they should be about how long it takes guys like Bud Dupree to get on the field. That's fine. Bud Dupree is not the guy that I'm worried about for this Titans team, getting on the field, getting integrated into the system. It's Caleb Farley. Caleb Farley is one of the most important players to me for the Tennessee Titans in 2021. And after the draft pick you made in the first round in 2020 in Isaiah Wilson, it's a really important player for John Robinson. It's a guy that's got to work out. Maybe not in the first couple of weeks, maybe not even in the first season, but it's got to be better than the last guy you picked, because that guy's about as big of a disaster as there's been in the NFL in quite some time. We'll talk about all that tomorrow. We're going to catch up with Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio tomorrow as well on the Wednesday edition of The Zone Daily. It's going to drop at 5 a.m. As always, training camp is here. We'll talk to you about it tomorrow.